Welcome back. And this story has just broken. It's up on the Coast to Coast AM website. I want to thank Lexa for getting this up there, which is face reading artificial intelligence will tell police when suspects are lying. That's right, when they're hiding the truth. The company is called Face Off. It's a UK startup. And Face Off, that was John Travolta. That's a whole nother AI. And they say that they've built a database of 300 million images of faces, some of which have been created by an AI system modeled on the human brain. And this is how it works. The system built by the company can identify emotions like anger, fear, and surprise based on micro expressions which are often invisible to the casual observer. For instance, if someone smiles insincerely, right, they're being interrogating and they're trying to laugh something off, their mouth may smile, but the smile doesn't reach their eyes. That's right. Michael, are you listening to me? See, you're smiling right now, but it didn't reach your eyes. So I know you're not being sincere. Think about that. Tonight, we're talking about the Davis Wilson UFO leak documents with our guest, Richard Dolan, and it is his birthday. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back to continue more with Richard right after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, standing in on this now Monday morning with our guest, Richard Dolan. And you can follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio. You can post your questions or comments right there. You can also follow Richard at Rich Dolan. It's not Richard. Rich, you know you've messed everybody up with that, by the way, and I have to constantly let everybody know who you really are on Twitter.
It's too late to change it.
Yeah,
it is
what it is. It is way too late to change it. Now, on these documents, Richard, there are, for me, a few key points here that need to be addressed. And for those that haven't read the documents, we can kind of help them along here. But the first, for me, is the reference to crashed and or landed craft. Now, that's pretty interesting because that obviously a crashed craft is something understandable, but landed is a whole nother frame of mind and reference, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And that's I don't have them directly in front of me. It's on the page 13 or 14. It's toward the end of the documents. What is quite intriguing about that, there's a number of intriguing things about that passage. One is that, Wilson very quickly tells Davis that he was told that progress on trying to replicate that technology was painfully, or I think painstakingly slow, and was a very, very difficult going. Security clearances prevented these guys from communicating extensively with the rest of the world as a result of how important this was, and so they were not able to get the kind of collaboration with other brilliant people that they would like to because they didn't have the clearance. There's an interesting support for that Dr. Davis himself gave just about 2 weeks before, a week and a half before all of this blew up. And this has to do with the May 31st interview that Lou Elizondo did with Tucker Carlson on Fox when the rollout of the TV show Unidentified came out. So that's, the TTSA and sponsored, I guess you could say, the show on UAP, UFO, and the Navy and all of that. So anyway, Elizondo gets an interview with Carlson, who incidentally asked, for mainstream television, many very on-point questions. But anyway, at the very end, Tucker Carlson asks Lou Elizondo, do you think the U.S. government has debris from a UFO? And there's this long pause. And Elizondo says, I do, yes. And Carlson says, wait, you do think the U.S. government has debris from a UFO in its possession? And Elizondo says, unfortunately, Tucker, I really have to be careful of my NDA. I really can't get into a lot more detail than that. but simply put, yes. Yes, yes. So here's Elizondo on national television, Fox News, telling Tucker Carlson that the U.S. government has crash retrieval of UFOs in its possession. So there's a gentleman who really deserves his name out there. His name's James Iandoli. He is a young researcher, a sharp guy. I know James. I get to talk to him every now and then. And he was in touch with Eric Davis. And I don't know how he was able to do this, but he was, got communication back and forth with Davis and got a statement, this, I think that night, May 31st going into June 1st, from Davis. And again, I want to emphasize, this is before all of these leaks came out, before everything blew up. So everything was much more calm from that point of view. And Davis wrote a very carefully worded reply. And he wrote, Luis Elizondo's very brief answer to Tucker Carlson's question about whether the U.S. government is in possession of recovered, crashed, and landed UFO technology hardware is 1,000% accurate. My national security NDAs prevent me from adding any further comment on this. Now, I want to thank James Iandoli for getting that statement. But basically what we're seeing here is, other than, I mean, this is interesting for many reasons. So he's confirming from his point of view that U.S. government has crash retrieval UFOs. But what James said that Davis corrected or actually gave several additions is instead of saying crashed UFO technology, he added recovered and landed UFO technology. In other words, we're always talking about crashed UFOs as in, you know, God, what a wreck. But here's Davis explicitly stating a week and a half before this leak came out, explicitly stating not just crashed, but landed and recovered. And that agrees completely, of course, with the statement in the notes that you were just referring to, that this was, you know, fully intact UFO. So again, you've got this very, very strongly corroborative statement by Eric Davis before the leaks came out that do support the information in that those leaked notes.
What do we do with all of the, and I'm saying all, what do we do with all of the people that have come forward that have talked nearly word for word exactly these subjects, where now we have this document? Do we have to back up and consider what everybody else is saying as being truthful? Or how do we start to move forward? Because,
well, what do you mean, everybody else?
I'm talking about witnesses to Roswell, or you know, look at a situation like Travis Walton. That's another example of something that we have a lot of facts that have been there, but he has gone through his ridicule over the years, and the others that have faced the same torment from coming forward, and we have a document like this, do we have to back up and reconsider what witnesses have been saying over the years that, quite frankly, have been embarrassed?
Well, we have to reconsider it if we thought that they were lying and false. Yeah, I think we'd have to reconsider it and say, maybe they're telling the truth. We're in a very strange situation with this phenomenon for all of these years. You have an overwhelming abundance of evidence pointing to the reality of something quite extraordinary that is among us. And it's a reasonable hypothesis that this something is not from our civilization. And yet, at the same time, we're so constrained because our official institutions of truth do not acknowledge it. And that has been our discrepancy for our entire lifetimes. For everyone listening, it's been our entire lifetimes
right. That
this discrepancy has existed. So it's a very odd thing. The truth is not so much, it's scientific, but it's also political. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what is it that would constitute disclosure or confirmation? Is it a scientist saying, yes, it's true? Is it a million witnesses agreeing, yes, it's true? Well, it seems to be none of those. It seems to be a statement from our hierarchy of power, those people at the top. In other words, you can argue about this. We can all argue about this until we're blue in the face, and we can know this well as we can possibly know it, but yet there's no acknowledgement from the people who seem to be the ones that matter in this power structure. That's a weird thing. And we're seeing it now with this leak. In my view, any reasonable mind looking at these notes can see that they are what they purport to be, which is notes that Eric Davis took down after his conversation with Admiral Thomas Wilson. And there's no reasonable hypothesis otherwise. I mean, there's people who are saying it's a hoax. I'm like, that makes no sense to me. But we've got this information here, and yet because we don't have this confirmation coming from up high, from our masters, as it were, right? They don't acknowledge it, and so we're still stuck here running around in circles, running on the hamster wheel here. So that's a problem. I don't know how we're going to fix that problem, but the thing is, that is the problem, and we need to recognize.
Well, the situation, and the situation that we find ourselves in, both as a community but also as a planet, that you not only wrote about in the National Security State series, but certainly confronted this head on in AD After Disclosure, and all three books are excellent books. But this is exactly what you were referring to here. We've got the National Security State slip up and leaked documents talking about UFOs all the way back to the Pentagon. Yeah. And then we're in this AD After Disclosure situation that is being rolled out in front of us. Why now, Richard? What's going on?
Yeah, I wonder about this. Well, I think the fundamental reason why we're seeing things happening now, I mean, history seems to be speeding up, and why? And I think the answer is that fundamentally, it's our technology. That is, it's our internet, it's our social media, it's our increased processing power, it's our ability to talk to people from around the world in ways that were not imaginable even one decade ago, but certainly two decades ago and beyond. It would be very difficult to have imagined what we're able to do now. And so what that's done is it's amped up our own ability, as it were, to gain access to information, to do good research, right? I mean, there are a lot of very, very good researchers out there today that we didn't have 20, 30 plus years ago, because it was harder to do that research in earlier times. And it's easier now. And so we've got a lot of people able to do much more. And so there's a much greater mass of individuals contributing to this truth that we're all trying to figure out. So that's one big thing. And what's happening is it's causing, I think we're getting closer to a kind of critical mass where as more and more toothpaste comes out of the tube, we're going to get to a point where that avalanche can occur. And this is the thing that I hypothesized with my co-author, Bryce Zabel, in After Disclosure, which is, you know, we perceive, and I know that I definitely perceive the UFO subject back in 2010 when we wrote this book, as so powerful, so revolutionary, so profound, so longstanding, so profitable to those people who had it, that it would never come out voluntarily, not ever. But the problem is that from that point of view, those guys are not in full control of the situation. There's a whole world out there, us, and we're going through our own revolution. And so we're pushing this matter. And so I perceived Disclosure at that time particularly as being triggered by an accident, by a leak, by a sighting, something that couldn't be handled, and it would cause an avalanche, as it were. You know, one question leading to another, to another, to another, and the next thing you know, you have an out-of-control situation. But that's not what is happening yet. What's happening now is something a little different. What I believe has happened is that this, and this is independent of the Wilson leak, by the way. This is, if you look at the TTSA people, you've got a faction, or you've got a group of people, basically, who have had security clearances and who know enough that they know that this phenomenon is real, and who, for their reasons, are promoting a disclosure line. And they have to do it carefully. They can't just say, you know, there's a deep cover-up, it's black, and there's special access programs to reverse engineer EQ tech. Like, that's not going to come out. First of all, they've got security clearances, and they're going to blow that if they start talking like that. Secondly, you've got a hostile, not just skeptical, but hostile scientific and media community out there that will tear them to pieces. So they look slowly. They take baby steps, and they do, well, this fiction of UAP, we don't know what they are. Well, of course they know what they are, but they put this out there because that makes sense for this stage of what they're trying to do. So that's a faction, and they have to fight against, I'm sure, other factions within the intelligence and military community. Guarantee you they don't all want that out. There's no way they would all want that out. So you've got this very small group of guys, and they're pushing it, and they've made more success in the last 2 years than any inside group has ever done. They get the New York Times to do a 180 in its editorial policy on UFOs. That's amazing. It's easy to forget how the UFOs were treated in such a snarky, ridiculously insulting fashion by the New York Times, by the Washington Post, by all the mainstream media for years and years and years. I mean, just embarrassingly bad for them by their standards, but they did it. And that has changed, and that's an unbelievable transformation. So what does it mean? You've got people out there saying, well, it obviously means that there's a false flag coming and that they're doing something deceptive. And, well, I don't know what that would be. What I believe is that you've got a faction that's just pushing this, and I think they've made some success. Whether they'll make all the success they wanted, I don't know. But they've done a lot. They've done more than most people have been able to do in their research. So we'll see where it goes. But I think that's what's happening. I think we're looking at this is playing out because, A, we're in the age that we are in. It's 2019. We've got a lot of capabilities that didn't exist 20 years ago. And one of those is that there's a group of people who, because of that, have certain abilities to get their word out in ways that they probably could not have done in the 1990s or 1980s. So we're seeing it now.
Is it because you and I, again, I want to go back to your reference about an accidental leak. I remember specifically a conversation that you and I had 5 years ago about if it did happen, it would be out of their control. And that it would probably happen on the internet. Well, boom, that's exactly,
right.
You know, the crystal ball couldn't have been used any better, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly how it happened today. But at the same time, we have the intentional cooperation coming out of Washington and the Pentagon. And it seems that they might be trying to get out in front of this accidental situation that maybe they know that there is something coming forward. Is that maybe this Davis Wilson leak, that maybe they knew something is about to go and they have to get out in front of it? Because public perception wasn't negative here. Everything has been positive.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things going on here. I don't think that the Davis Wilson leak was promoted in any way by these guys. I think that the Davis Wilson leak and all the other Mitchell files were done privately by interested parties, whoever, engaged in the UFO subject. This is my take on it currently. However, what you're saying earlier, I think, is very interesting, which is, you know, with the U.S. Navy, why would they be, at least in part, seemingly interested in promoting a pro-UFO/UAP narrative, which they're doing?
Well, we need to take a break right here, and we'll finish that thought when we come back. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest, Richard Dolan. This is Coast to Coast AM. What a great version. Listen, if you enjoy when I host Coast to Coast, if you dig what's going on and you enjoy the conversation and the way that I do things here, you've got to check out my show. It's called Fade to Black. Now, Fade to Black is easy to get to. Just click on my name right there, Coast to Coast AM. Click on my name. It'll take you straight over to our website. And everything is there. We broadcast live Monday through Thursday, live from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time. We end at 10, so you can roll straight into Coast to Coast with George Norrie and seriously get your conspiracy on. That's a 7-hour straight shot dose of great talk radio. Okay, and it's simple. Everything's free, and just go and check it out over at jimmychurchradio.com. You can certainly follow me on Twitter at jchurchradio, and I'm a big social media guy. I hang out on social media, probably spend way too much time there, but that's what I like to do. So at J Church Radio, and any questions or comments you need to reach out to me, you can do it on Twitter at J Church Radio. All right, so tonight we have been talking about the Davis Wilson leaked UFO documents. And, of course, Dr. Stephen Greer was with us earlier. Now we are talking about the reporting by Richard Dolan. And we will continue that and pick up where we left off with the U.S. Navy and why now after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. Wow, what a show tonight. And, Richard, I want to thank you for doing this with us and allowing us to celebrate your birthday, man. 29 years old. Incredible. Now,
I've enjoyed it.
We started to talk about, you did, you brought up, you know, why now with the United States Navy taking a stance?
Yeah. All right, so my first answer is I don't know the exact reason why, but I can speculate that there are a couple of reasons. And one, I think you were hinting at this before the last break, which is that it's possible, at least it's conceivable, that there is a decision made by someone in the know that this subject is becoming impossible to contain indefinitely. I mean, this is something I've wondered about for a while. I've been talking about what I call controlled disclosure, which is in a way kind of what we're seeing. That is, when you have the acknowledgement that this secret cannot last forever, you know it's going to come out. So then the question is, well, why not control the spin and control the manner in which it comes out? And so I think there's some of that going on here, and it's possible that we're getting to a point where someone was able to make a decision to allow some of this information to come out. I think someone must have given a green light somewhere to allow this to come out. And I don't know who that person or that authority is, but someone has done it. And to release this or to allow information to come out in a controlled way. And let me just say there's a danger in that because, you know, there's people who are assuming that the hierarchy, the controlled media, can control every single element of the narrative that comes out. And I don't think that's true. The UFO subject can't easily be tamed, in my opinion. I think it's inherently a wild phenomenon. And they can try to control this disclosure for a while, but I don't really believe it's something that can be controlled for an indefinite period of time. At some point, they're going to hit the avalanche moment in this disclosure process where they lose control. I think that's a definite possibility. Now, another reason that there may be a push for disclosure could be purely monetary, that it could be pushed by not even necessarily the Navy so much as powerful contractors that want to, as it were, white world or the black world technology, that is to make some of the tech advances that have happened over the years that are still classified, to bring them out into the open so that they can be fully monetized. That's a really big possibility. That wouldn't be necessarily something coming from the Navy or from the Pentagon itself. It would be coming from private money, private contractors who run these special access programs. All the betting is on the fact that the special access programs are dominated by private contractors, not the DOD personnel. Many of us have believed this for a long time. And that's what I believe. So you can easily hypothesize you've got competing contractors out there right now. They're all competing for money. They're all competing for customers around the world. And it's not hard to envision that one or more of them are fully aware that there are breakthroughs that exist in the classified world, that because of that, they're not able to fully monetize to customers around the world. And again, look, I'm just emphasizing this is my own speculation. I don't know that this is the case.
Well, if we take that,
that's a scary possibility, because I don't know if anyone really would want defense contractors selling ET tech to nations around the world.
Well, if we take that a step further, because I think that's a very interesting hypothesis. If we take it a step further, which is that with the Navy, both of these significant incidents happened on each coast, east and west, with the Navy during naval exercises. Could it be that what those pilots witnessed was that advanced technology? Maybe it was an alien reproduction vehicle. Maybe it was an ARV, not necessarily piloted by ET, but certainly that technology, and it was being tested during those naval exercises. And the pilots, well, if it's effective testing, they don't know what they're looking at.
Sure. My initial reaction was almost a knee-jerk reaction. I'm going to admit this. And I thought it'd be impossible, even for a breakaway civilization, which I've often thought about. I didn't think that we would have that capability. And maybe it isn't ours, but I don't know. I think at least I want to be open to the possibility that this is something that is deeply, deeply, deeply covert, clandestine within the labyrinth of the classified world. And if that's so, then, you know, we have a lot of questions that arise, like who is behind it? What's the organization that's behind it? And what are the mission of these objects? What do they do? And all of that, because they're not being seen in warfare. So they're being seen, they must be doing something else. But, that would be a motivation. You'd want to think we need to have this out in the open, because maybe they've reached a stage in development of the technology where they need more people involved, for all we know, or they need this out for some other reason that we're not really even fully grasping, but that's a definite possibility.
I wanted to talk to you about disclosure, but before we do,
yeah.
I don't want to let this thought go where we are right now, which is this. I understand the Navy's concerns. I know why they would go to the Senate and do a briefing with the Senate. It makes perfect sense. They've got pilots that are coming forward, crew members of these ships and armadas that are talking about this. And, of course, there is a concern. I get that. But I don't hear anything about, you know, the possible threat against our military. And, we, you know, this is a dangerous zone. And okay, I get all of that. But there isn't any talk about civilian aircraft or the airline industry or the shipping industry and ships that are – there isn't any talk of that. I don't understand where there's a line in the sand. The concern should be across the board, and I don't get it.
Totally agree with you. This is a very controlled process. And this has been the case right from the beginning of the coverage of the New York Times. And, in fact – I'm trying to recall the exact content of the first TTSA conference of, you know, their announcement in October of 2017. I seem to think they talked about civilians encountering this worldwide, but maybe I'm just misremembering. But definitely with the New York Times piece of and the political piece of December 2017 and onward, that mainstream coverage, it's all been military, as far as I can remember. All of it's been military. And what you're pointing out is, hey, it's a lot more than military, and this is absolutely true. And this will take us, like, this level of the conversation, you can't hold it back forever. Even in the controlled media, the mainstream media, which is very controlled. But inevitably, when they start letting more and more of these other truths out, these military truths, that then these other civilian truths, the rest of the world, those truths, they're going to be coming out as well. And how and when that will happen, I don't know. But it's, again, it's the toothpaste out of the tube syndrome. So the more that comes out, it's going to be more and more difficult to get this stuff back in. And the question is, what will be the tipping point?
Well, your recent TV series that you did over at Gaia was, you know, based on false flags. You're allegedly writing a book on false flags that's going to come out sometime this century. Mm-hmm. And
It'll come out. I'm actually back on volume 3 of National Security Day. That's actually my priority at this time.
Oh, you're really going to open up the
reasons.
Door. You're really going to open up the door with me on that right now.
Yes, I am. I'm opening it, and it's wide open. So what do you think about that?
Oh, man. Okay. So back Richard, I want to read the false flag book so bad. So anyway,
it'll happen.
But
it'll
but
happen.
In your interest of research into false flags, and your coverage has been extensive and comprehensive on it. Are you looking at this going, you know, this has got all of the ingredients of a classic false flag operation. This time it's not going to involve Vietnam or North Korea, but it's going to involve a race of ET from off planet. Do you see the ingredients here?
I'm not a believer in it. And people are expecting me to believe, oh, yes, well, it's going to be a false flag. It's like the Wernher von Braun scenario. You know, we hear about this all the time. It's like a mantra in the UFO field, like unquestioned dogma at this point. That, you know, Dr. Carol Ross, and someone who I know and like and respect, by the way, and believe also, who made the statement that in the 1970s, the late 70s, when von Braun was ailing, he predicted to her that there would be a series of false flags, you know, the Russians and then asteroid, I think she said, and then, you know, terrorists and then alien invasion. And that's gotten kind of rolled into the failed the Project Bluebeam scenario. I should say failed, the non-true Project Bluebeam scenario. So people have this idea that there's going to be this great alien invasion false flag. And, you know, I wrote about this 10 years ago, the Bluebeam thing. Completely bogus. Stop believing in it if you believe in it. It's not true. It's based. The original Bluebeam idea, incidentally, was supposed to be the fake second coming of Christ back in the 1990s, and that didn't happen. Then that got converted to an ET false flag invasion. But I would really question, you know, when von Braun said this to Dr. Carol Rosen, what was he basing it on? Was he formally briefed that there would be such a thing? Was he hearing talk around the coffee table? Was he giving her his own opinion? If this is an actual false flag plan, it's been almost 50 years since he told her this. So we have to ask ourselves, how long is a false flag going to be planned? You know, you can look at the Bilderbergers, and they can plan things out 5-10 years. I don't know of any evidence of any false flag in history that has a 50-year timeline of planning. So I really think we need to start considering how many more decades need to pass before we start to think, maybe the false flag alien invasion won't happen after all. I'm just not a believer in it. It's too. If you want to create a global police state, 24/7 surveillance, latchkey control, you know, in every way, you don't need a fake alien invasion. It's happening now. We're already moving into that. And there's, you know, that's the reality. So I don't see this as a false flag. Some people have called this a false flag. I think it's just wrong. You know, the newspaper coverage, there can be spin. There can be even spin that's so bad that it's deceptive. But that's not the same thing as a false flag. So I just think we've got to be careful with how we use our language on this. There's always spin. There's always motivations. Everyone in the world who lives has motivations. Sometimes they're open, sometimes they're not open. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're selfish, and so on. And it's no different with the controlled form of disclosure we're seeing, obviously. We can't just take everything that's being said at face value. But that's a far cry from saying it's an op, it's a false flag. And, you know, I hear this from people, and no one has provided a really coherent scenario as to where this type of false flag supposedly is going to lead.
But I'm
not seeing it.
Yeah, and what so, if we had a Pandora's box here in discussing this, my fear is this. We've seen how ISIS, or terrorism, I should say, which is something that is almost an intangible. In that you can say whatever you want, without anything visible out there for proof. But when it comes to ET, that would be an invasion. That would be the perfect situation because there's no way to see ships. Not unless they're reflecting sun. There are no radar or anything else. You're not probing the universe and tracking ship. Right. You would never see it. And it could be years and years and years in the making. And that would be something that is almost so perfect if you're going to, you know, get everybody to rally around your position. That would be an absolute invisible force that there's no proof. There's no way to prove it. So you could say whatever you want.
It's possible, right? So they could be using the fear of aliens that don't yet show themselves to complete some kind of agenda. Yeah, okay, that could be possible. But we have to take into consideration another possibility, that there is actually, to some extent, a genuine threat.
Right.
And people don't like to think about this, but when you go through the long history of our encounters with these other beings, it's not all every encounter is this wonderful, beneficent encounter.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who've had encounters that they feel are very wonderful. Good, that's fantastic. If that's the case, but there are reasons to be concerned. And I just have to say this, if you're a military person, which I'm not, okay, but if one is a military person, and you are charged with protecting the security of your nation and your people, you've got to be concerned. You have to be concerned. It's your job to look into this as a potential threat, which is what they're doing, by the way.
How
in my two volumes of National Security State, it's one military encounter after another, after another, after another. I mean, one should be concerned that there are these objects.
We only have 60 seconds, Richard. So quick question, quick answer. Why has it taken, if the Nimitz encounter happened in 2004, why did it take 15 years for this to go public? Why didn't we know about this in 2005 if there was a genuine concern?
Right. It actually did leak out to the website Above Top Secret back in 07, but it really didn't get any traction. It's true. And then it was put on a website put out by a gentleman named Paco Cherio, I believe, who's a fighter pilot and fighter sweep, I think it was called.
Mm-hmm.
That was a few years before. And so it was out there. It was quietly existing out there. And so I think when TTSA made their rollout in October 2017, they must have realized this is something that we legally can talk about. So let's just use this one. This will be our poster case. So
hey, Richard,
I think that's just how it was.
Richard.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Now enjoy the rest of your day. Give my best to Tracy and. Maybe one day before I retire, I'll read your new False Flags book. But in the meantime, go finish National Security State Volume 3. That was some pretty exciting news. Thank you so much, Richard.
You bet, Jimmy. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Richard Bleepin Dolan. And his links are over at coasttocoastam.com. I want to thank Anna. Anna, doing a great job tonight on the boards. Of course, Mike, Donna, Chris, Greg, Tim, Lex, George, Tom, Lisa, and my beautiful wife, Rita. I am your host, Jimmy Church. I'll see you guys soon. But until then, go Beckley Tepe.